Grab your Bibles and stand, please. Be careful. He's old. Grab your Bibles and stand.
I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but I have notes tonight. No guarantees. Okay? Are we agreed? No guarantees? This could be quick, this could be this short, we don't know. Alright, we're going to be preaching tonight on the thought of God's presence requires yours.
Amen?
Amen? God's presence requires yours. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2, if you will please, 2 Kings chapter 2. I've preached this passage of Scripture before. The Lord gave it to me again in a different light, sort of. I think I've preached it in faithfulness before, which is implied in this message. But I have one of my favorite people of all the Bible. I named my son after him.
All of them.
What? That's all of them? You're stupid. It's all of them. Yeah, it's every one of them. That's great. Yeah, kid jokes. 2 Kings. I said 2 Kings, chapter number 2. And we're going to look down there, verse number 14, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 14. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
And he, being Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Let's pray right there. Lord, we love you. We pray you'd be in the message tonight, God. I pray you'd help for me to convey the thought that you gave me. Lord, I pray that you'd be in the preaching and that you'd be the true preacher. Lord, whether the message is long or short, God, I pray that you'd help us to understand what you'd have us to understand tonight, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Thinking about this thought, God's presence requires yours. I'm going to focus on this. The main thought of this message came from that verse there, where Elisha is now on his own, and Elijah has gone up, and Elisha asked the question, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" That's a question that we all ask each other, don't we? We ask ourselves that all the time. Where's the God that we've heard about? Where's God in my life? Where's God in my life, like we've heard about from the days of old, like when Billy Graham was preaching? Not to say I put a stamp of approval on his ministry, but just to say God did something there. What about Mordecai Ham? Those are the kind of men. What about some of the John Edwards? These men that preached and hundreds and thousands of people got saved. We think, could it ever happen again? Could revival ever happen again? Where's the God that we have these men today, these men that we look up to, these pastors that pastor these mega churches, so-called? And I don't say that in a negative way. I mean that they're doing something. Amen.
Yeah.
There's power there for something. There's something that's attracting people to them. And it's not all carnality, because I've been in their services and there's not a whole lot of carnality there.
Man.
Amen. There's a lot of people that naysay and all that stuff. Now, they may not do everything the way I think they should do it, but who am I? Amen. What do I know? I don't know anything. Amen. You can amen there. It's put there for a reason. Amen. There's a point that you can amen. Amen. It only gets harder from here. Alright? So listen to me though. Where is the Lord God? I was thinking about this. I want to go back to look at Elisha's calling. Go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19. This is the first time we see Elisha come on the scene. And don't get me wrong, everybody gets Elisha, my son's name, and they all want to call him Elijah. Which is okay, I guess, except for he's like, it's Elisha. Amen? So he knows his name, and that's good. There's a difference. He is the understudy, and he's the, what do they call, the predecessor, not the predecessor, but the protege. Is that the right word I'm looking for? Protege? Alright. Of Elijah. Now, Elijah was used by God, but now he's been called off the scene here. And we're going to look down at 1 Kings chapter 19, and verse number 19 to 21. We're going to look at where he's called here. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them. That means he got rid of his former occupation. He went back and killed the thing he was most focused on. He said, you know what? My life has now changed. Now my life has been called to serve God. This is his calling. He slew the oxen that was plowing in the field. He took the resource normally, if this was his livelihood and this is what he was counting on for his future, he would have nurtured those oxen. But because now he's called to God and he didn't want to have any strings attached to his former occupation or his former life, he said, let me go tell my mom and dad goodbye and let me get rid of the strings that are attached. And he killed the yoke of oxen. And he turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave them to the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And from there on, we see that Elisha was faithful and followed Elijah. And there's a lot of things that Elijah did. But we see that there was a testing that came now. There was a prophecy, and I believe that it was just spoken by Elijah, or it was made known that he was going to be taken up by God. I couldn't find a passage of Scripture where it was ever said by God that was going to happen. But it's just kind of known that maybe Elijah said it. Said, hey, God's going to take me at such and such a time. And we're going to go forward now. And now he studied under, go back to 2 Kings, and he studied under Elijah for a number of years. Or for the length of time that he was there, he was right there with Elijah, saw him do many marvelous things. But it came to pass that it was time for him to be taken up. Now, if you look at chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it said there in verse number 1, and it came to pass when the Lord would take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. We see here the first testing of Elisha's faithfulness and his dedication to the work of the Lord, and that he knows, and it's been kind of widely known, that Elisha's going to go off the scene. So instead of him, this is the testing that we see here. It's attested by the teacher in verse number 2 and in verse number 4. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here. He said, go ahead and stay back. Go ahead and stay back. I'm going to go ahead of you. You stay back. This is a test, I believe, by Elijah. Now, and we know that by what comes later, but we see that he's tested. In verse number 4 also, if you look down there, it says, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. There's two times that he was tested. And the request seemed to be a test to take it easy, in my opinion. We know that he was out to do the work of the Lord. Elijah was out to do the work of the Lord. And maybe Elijah was testing Elisha. Well, you just stay back here. I'm going to go ahead and take care of what God's told me to take care of. You just go ahead and stay back. What would he have done with his time? What would he have done with his time? Would he have just like took a nap? Would he have just sat around and been like, hey, I'm Elijah's understudy? Right? Maybe nothing went on. We don't see any major thing go on in the two times that he says, stay back. They say, stay back, and they just go ahead to the next place. It doesn't give us an account of any major work that Elijah did at all. So Elisha wouldn't necessarily have missed out on anything big during those two times. But he was tested to stay back and take it easy. He was said, just go ahead and just, well, maybe you're not, you know, go ahead and just stay and just, you know, you worry about you, take care of yourself or whatever. Just say, he didn't say that, just stay back, I'm going to go ahead of you. And Elijah said no. He said no. And then in verse number, we see that he's also, there's pressure from his peers to not be faithful to the work of God. And the thought of God's presence requires yours means for you to be, the thought is that if we want God's presence and power in our life, we need to be faithful to His work.
Yeah. That's right.
In the little things and in the big things. When there's something to do and when there's nothing to do. God's presence requires our presence. And I don't just mean showing up to church. I mean presence of faithfulness in your home life. Faithfulness in reading your Bible. God hearing and being in your presence every day as you pray before you go to work or before you get up to do your daily activities. Your presence. How can we ever require God's presence in our life when we don't give Him ours? And we're not faithful in a genuine way to minister to God. But when we need Him, as we see with Elijah, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He was there. Why was He there? Because Elijah was there. Because Elisha was there. We see that in verse 2 and verse 4 that He was told, stay back. Just you stay back. I'm going to go ahead. He said, you ain't going to get me to do that. In other words, forget about it. Amen? Forget about it. You know, there are a lot of things in our life that we're tempted with, and one of them is to take it easy. That's a big tool of the world and of the devil. Is take it easy. Somebody else has got it. Don't worry about it. Somebody else is taking care of that. Don't worry about it. Oh, you're really not needed so much. Don't worry about it. Oh, things are going well. You don't really have to read your Bible today. You don't really have to give your all today in prayer. You don't have to really submit your daily actions to the will of the Lord, like a conscience in a conscious way. Take it easy. Just go with the flow. Just do what you do. That's a temptation to take it easy. And when we just go with the flow and do what we do, sometimes we wander away from God's presence.
Right.
Sometimes we walk right away from God's presence. It's easy to do that. And that's why we don't have God's power and God's presence like we should as God's people. For one reason or another. Now we look at this, we look here at the pressure from God's peer, or the pressure from His peers. Elisha's peers. We look down at verse number 1 again, chapter number 2. Are you with me tonight?
Yep.
You following me?
Yep.
You with me? You get what I'm saying? Alright. As Brother Wilhelm would say, are you picking up what I'm laying down? Hello? Alright. I've been waiting to say that for 2 years. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? Did he? Oh no. Perfect timing, right? Okay. I wasn't here, so I didn't know. Amen. Alright, so look down at verse number 3. The pressure from his peers. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Look down at verse number 5. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, so this is two different places. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. So on one hand, and then these verses alternate each other. And this is exactly how we're tempted in the world. It's like a wave. It's like one thing after another. It's not always the consistent same trial or temptation. It's like, oh, take it easy. Pressure. Oh, take it easy. Pressure. Oh, take it easy. Pressure. It's just constant. It's either take it easy or so much pressure to try to get you away from God. It's one or the other. We see it here. In verse number 2, go back over with me, I'll prove it to you. Look at Elisha, verse number 2. And Elisha said, tarry here. Take it easy. Just go ahead and stay right here. Verse number 3, sons of the prophets come. Don't you know God's going to take your master away from your head today? Verse number 4, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, go ahead and stay back. Take it easy. Worry about yourself. None of this is written. This is kind of me implying it. What else would he have done? He wouldn't give any other command. Or is he just going to sit there and be idle? Do nothing. Verse number 5, and the sons of the prophets come. That were at Jericho. He came to Elisha and said, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master? So we see not only the test, that he was tested by the teacher, but he also had pressure from his peers. Elisha's request seemed to be a test to take it easy. The pressure from his peers seemed to want to cast doubt on either his calling, his ability, or create anxiety of him being left without Elisha, fear of being on his own. Taunting. Don't you know that he's going to take your master from you? Then what are you going to do? Well, you ain't going to be so bad when life's in around, are you? You ain't going to be the hot shot protege. When your master's gone, then it's all going to be on you. So we see ease, stay tarry. Stay back and tarry. Or pressure. What are you going to do? How's it going to be? You're going to be worried. What are you going to do then? What's going to be up? You're going to be all by yourself. We get pressured on both sides, don't we? But you know what we need to do? We still need to stay faithful. We see in both cases, Elisha said to Elijah, he said, tarry here, he said, you can forget about it. As God's alive, which is forever, and as long as you're alive, I'm going to be right next to you. Amen?
Amen?
And when it came to the pressure from his peers, he said, yeah, I already know. Why don't you keep that to yourself? Hold your peace. Right. Yeah, I know. Don't you worry about it. So Elisha's response to them is, to Elijah, where you go, I go. Where you go, I go. You know, we used to have a day when we had a leader and a pastor that the men that were in that church clung and cleaved to their pastor. So much so that almost, and not in a bad way, not like, oh, I need, and do this for me, and pastor, what can I do for you? What can I do to make your ministry easier? What can I do to follow you to make your, let me get that for you. You shouldn't be doing that. Let me get that. All the while gleaning the things that he's doing. In his sermon preparation, in his preaching, in his ministering to other people. You're doing the things that he shouldn't be doing, so he can be doing the things he's called to do, and all the while you're doing the things that he shouldn't be doing, but he's stuck doing anyway, because everybody else won't do it. He can be doing what he should be doing. Are you picking up what I'm laying down?
Amen.
So while you're doing that, you can be gleaning the things that he's doing that are according to the calling that he was called to. You'll glean a little bit. You'll pick up here a little bit there. But you'll be so close to him, while you're minding the things that he shouldn't be doing, that he's doing anyway, you'll be picking up the things from him that he is supposed to be doing, and then you'll get stronger for it.
Amen.
That's what Elisha was doing. He said, "Terry, here, you can forget about it. I ain't doing it." Why? Because he's like, "I'm going to miss out on something." And he knew he was going to miss out on something. Every time you say, "All right, I'll go ahead and stay back," you know what? You're going to miss out on something.
Right.
Now, we don't see anything major recorded here until the end, until it really matters. But if you're not in the habit of faithfulness, you'll miss out on the big thing. When ain't nothing going on, and you decide to stay back and not do nothing, it's when you get in the habit of doing that, when the big thing happens and everybody's talking about it, and you don't have a clue because you weren't there.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
It's important that we see that God's presence requires your presence.
That's right.
You being faithful. God's more inclined to let you see the big things when you're there for the little things. God is no respecter of persons. He, you know what God blesses? Faithfulness.
That's right.
He blesses obedience. You can be the smartest person in the room and not be faithful, and God will not bless you with the big things.
Right.
But you can be the dumbest person in the room, and you can be faithful. Like chronically faithful. You know what I'm saying? And God lets you see big things.
Amen.
That's all it takes, is faithfulness. He said to them, Elisha said, "Where you go, I go." You know, we need to get back to the point where we're following our leaders. We need to follow our leaders, not criticize them so much. Because you don't know what it's like to be a leader. If you're a follower, you don't have no idea what it's like to be a leader. I'm going to tell you something. A good leader was a follower before. The best leaders are the ones that have followed for a long time. So it's good to get in line and follow and glean. And he refused to leave Elisha. And to his peers, he said to them, "Keep that to yourself." You know what we need to do when it comes to the pressure from the world? What are you going to do? How are you going to do that? How are you going to fix this? How's this going? How are you going to make a living? How are you going to be a witness at work? All this pressure? How are you going to live a Christian life in this wicked world? You just keep that to yourself. Let me worry about that. Yeah, I know these are all big things, but guess what? I got my eyes focused on what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just going to stay faithful. I'm just going to press on what I know I should be doing. Guess what? Elisha knew he was supposed to follow and minister to Elijah. If he didn't know anything else, that's what he knew. So he stuck with it and he was faithful. To his peers, he said, "Keep that to yourself. I don't want to hear it." We need to get, instead of giving ear to the anxiety and to the worry and to the doubt and to the naysaying, we just need to say, "Keep that to yourself." You know what? That's right. You just go ahead and keep that. Quit letting it get into your mind. You know, Peter told those in Cappadocia and all that, he said, "Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird them up. Don't let things just be in your mind. Gird them up. Strengthen that part of your mind that's the weakest." And a lot of times in our minds, what's the most weak is either our pride. Well, I know better and I can do better and I'm the this or that. Or your worry side. You don't know what's going to happen. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Gird them up. Amen? He rejected and deflected their pressure immediately. And in my opinion, ease and pressure are two of the biggest tools used against the followers of God to get them to not be faithful. Either things are too easy or things are too hard. It's easy to do nothing, and it's easy to quit when things get hard. But we see that Elisha didn't do that. And Elijah looked down at verse number 4. And Elisha said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. This is the third time. For the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they two by Jordan. And Elisha took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee. Now, you understand that. Look at the... Oh, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I'm sorry. I about jumped all over it. If thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. You see what he just said about his request? Ask me anything you want and I'll give it to you. He said, let me get a double portion of whatever it is you got. I want a double portion of your spirit. I want double in my guts, the fire you got in your guts. I want twice as much. And the prerequisite to his request was, if you see me, go up. But for the last three journeys, he said, stay behind. Stay behind. Stay behind. It was a test. But we have to understand that the key to getting that is faithfulness. He said it there. If you see me, then you'll get what you're asking for. In other words, if you stay faithful, then you'll get that double portion of the Spirit of God. You'll get the presence and the power. The same thing that I had. You know what the problem is today? A lot of us don't even desire to have the power of the old men of God. We don't even care. If God were to, if Pastor was to come down here and say, if he would say, hey, I'm retiring, God told me to quit. And he said, ask me whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Some of us would say, I want your truck. I would say, I want your truck. No, I wouldn't. I say, pray for me that I could be half as effective as you've been in your ministry. But some of us wouldn't even go that. We'd give us some material thing. Hey, let me get half what's in your bank account. Or what's not your bank account. Or whatever. But the problem is, we don't desire the spiritual blessings of God. We don't desire. We desire what the world desires. Give me money. Give me fame. Give me products. Give me cars. Give me houses. Give me the... Let me be healthy and wealthy and all that jazz. Elisha didn't say any of that. He said, I just want double whatever it is you got. We used to desire... It used to be that people used to be chomping at the bit to learn more from their pastor. And to have the same fire and just... You look at somebody like Brother... what's his name? Tent guy. Yeah. I can't remember the name. Hewitt. Man, you know what he did? He was like stuck to whoever it was that groomed him. What was his name?
Stennett Ballou.
And he was like... He saw that that man had something and he had to have whatever it was that man had. You know all he did was stick to him like glue.
Yep.
That's all he did. He stuck to him like glue. And if there was something he wasn't supposed to be doing, Brother Hewitt was doing it so he could just glean, so he could just watch him be what God wanted him to be. We shouldn't be seeing Pastor doing stuff he ain't got nothing to do with God's work. That's not where we're going to benefit the most. We're going to watch him minister to people, watch him preach and prepare to preach and be able to go out and do the things that God's called him to do. Not do other things that have nothing to do with God's work. Amen?
Yeah.
Seeing him in action doing what God's called him to do is the best thing that could ever happen to you if you're going to follow God.
Amen.
That's what we gotta have. We gotta have a desire to see and be what God's men of old were. I wanna preach, man. I wanna preach like John Edwards preached. Open air, cross-eyed and all. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. I'm for real. That dude could preach. He looked like this when he did it, but he was preaching. And he could preach. They would say you could almost hear him a mile away. He had such a voice, he would open air preach. You could almost hear. You know how far a mile is? 800, 200 feet. 820 feet, right? What? 5,000? That's what I said. 5,820 feet.
Amen.
That's what we said collectively. What? Dan? 280 feet. We're close enough. I mean, you say banana, I say banana, whatever.
From here to my house.
1 mile?
From here to my house.
Exactly 1 mile. Well, you know what? That those men of God had something that we don't have today. God's presence. Where conviction can be felt. Felt in a geographical radius. That God is in the area. That's amazing power. Not just God was in the service, but God's in the service here, so people down the street are like, something's wrong. I need to go to church. I need to find God's people.
Amen.
That's the kind of power we need.
That's right.
We're only going to get it if we're faithful.
Right.
And you think about this. You heard people say all the time, they get in these crunches of faith. And that's what I'm going to say, trials of faith. Let's go that. They get into a pickle, okay? And they always say, where's God at? Where's God at? God's where He's always been. Where have you been? That's the question. God's been where He's always been. God doesn't move to the left hand or to the right. Does He?
That's right.
God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He does not change. We do. We wander. We turn to the left hand and to the right. We go astray. And then we ask, where is God? God's been asking, where have you been?
Right.
But when He calls us to do something, and we know that He's called us to do something, we see what He says to Elisha, and it came to pass as they were gone over that Elisha said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. That's what we need to start praying. God, just whatever you gave those men of old, whatever revivals you brought on, God, do it again. Lord, and you know what? He had enough nerve to ask for a double portion. I'd be satisfied just to see half of what God was doing before do it again. I'd be afraid of anything other than that. Anything more than that, I'd be scared to death. Because we don't really know what it's like to see God move the way God wants to move. It's almost like what He told Moses, hide the cleft of the rock, I'll let you see my hinder parts. I'll let you just get a glimpse of a little bit of me, because that's all you can handle. Well, Lord, give us all we can handle.
Amen.
Amen. Give us all we can handle. He said in verse number 10, He said, thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee. He's already resolved it in his heart. He said, told him three times, the Lord living in his eyes. I ain't taking my eyes off of you. And he already determined that. He said in verse number 10, it shall be done unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elisha went up by a whirlwind. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Of course, it was an amazing thing to see that. And there went his master. There went his everything. I mean, he left his father and his mother to follow this teacher, follow this prophet. He's been with him. I mean, living in caves and in the wilderness and just wandering, just doing God's work. And now he's gone. He said, I just want a double portion of your spirit when you're gone. And he's gone. It's traumatic. Man, he's gone from me now. Now what? He took up also his mantle, verse number 13, of Elijah, and that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan and took the mantle of Elisha that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He said, God, it's my turn. I can't rely on Him. I got to rely on God.
Amen.
Where's God at? He followed so close to Elijah that he got to see him go up. But when it was his turn, he didn't say, Elijah, help me. He knew who to call on. He called on God. He said, where are you at? God said, right here.
Amen.
Where I've been the whole time. And he was faithful. But he didn't listen to those naysayers. And he didn't take it easy. He stayed right behind and right beside the man of God. And so much so that his desire was to have double what he had. And when he went up, he got what he asked for. And we see that immediately that it said there, and when he had When he had also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elisha doth rest on Elijah." It'll be evident in our lives. It'll be evident in our lives that we got the presence of God on our lives. It doesn't matter which leader that we follow. It doesn't matter which man of God. You know, God desires to work in every generation, in every culture, in every time frame of history. God still desires to work like He did before.
That's right.
He wants to prove to everybody all over again that it's possible to have a nationwide revival.
Amen.
He wants to prove to everybody all over again that it is possible to get places like the liquor stores and all these other places that shouldn't be open to have to close their doors, not because of COVID, but because of holiness.
Amen.
Because people don't patronize the place anymore.
Right.
God wants to do that. Because so many people are getting saved that they got to build new buildings. Wouldn't it be great if whoever's doing all these plans and stuff just got saved and joined our church and we didn't have to mess with all this stuff anymore? Amen? And that's the littlest thing in the world when it comes to what God's really trying to do.
Yeah.
We've seen, I've been here the last 2 weeks and we've seen 4 people get saved. We need more of it.
Amen.
But it was apparent to everyone around them, in verse number 15, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Just a little while ago, they were saying, "He's going to go. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" He said, "Shut up. Keep that to yourself." Elijah said, "Why don't you just stay back and take it easy? You can forget about it." And when he went up, he saw and he got a double portion. If you go back, and I want you to do this tonight and out throughout the week, go back and read from this point. This is where Elisha takes over. And read until Elisha dies, and look at how many miracles he did. That was the secret part. Even after he died, he was still performing miracles. That's how much the presence of God was on this old boy. His only quality was that he forsook his old life and was faithful to the end to the calling that God put on his life.
Amen.
That was it. Amen. And I want to see God move.
Amen.
I want God to move in this church plant. I want God to move in this church.
Amen.
I want God to just sprout so many churches out of here that it's ridiculous.
Amen.
But it's going to take true faithfulness. And I mean it, faithfulness at home. I'm not talking about coming to church. Be faithful at home.
Amen.
Be faithful to pray. Be faithful to order your steps after the will of God in your life. Don't just go about your life asking God to bless it when your life isn't in the will of God, if that's the case. Amen? That's another message for another time. But I want to see where the Lord God of Elijah is. I want to see where the Lord God of Mordecai Ham is, or John Edwards, or Shubal Stearns. I want to see that kind of power again. We just got to get in line. Get faithful and watch God do some amazing things. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.